Blog Talk Radio.
Keep me,
keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me, keep me
Welcome to Dry Bones Connection. This is Antoinette, and tonight we have with us a former member of the World Bank, Miss Brown, and she's going to be discussing the failed bank state and what it means for your money. And we will be starting the show in just one moment.
Why money ain't free? Why can't you just give it to me? I don't wanna work for nobody. I'd rather keep doing me. Why money ain't free? Why can't you just give it to me? I don't wanna work for nobody. I'd rather keep doing me. Why money?
Clocking in the 9 to 5, got to go hella tired. Why won't they let me be? Now I understand why my mama always used to ask that I sing honey through a tree. I got these bills after bills and they just keep coming. I'm working overtime but my pockets ain't flooding. Yeah, my phone's going. A dollar life is ghetto.
Why money ain't free?
Why it ain't free?
Why can't you just give it to me?
Oh,
I don't want to work for nobody. I'd rather keep doing me. Why money ain't free? Why can't you just give it to me? I don't want to work for nobody. I'd rather keep doing me. Why money ain't free?
I'm stuck here at this 9 to 5, struggling to make ends meet. See, I got people on my line, they trying to get every dime. Now they calling by my warranty. It seems like a scam like me. That money is not free when it literally grow on trees. So I literally go on trees and hoping money literally grow on me.
Why money ain't free?
That's a very good question.
I think you just give it to me.
That's an
inner question.
Why can't you just give it to me? I don't wanna work for nobody.
With us. Ms. Brown, are you with me?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Well, thank you. And we're so happy that you're here with us, and I know you have a lot to share with us, and we hope that to the best of your ability that you'll be able to explain it and to answer questions that to the best of your ability. So,
right.
Now, from the two songs that I played for, The Love of Money and Why Money Isn't Free. Now, it's not free for us, but we know that it's free, is, you know, apparently it's becoming free to the bankers and those that are echelons where they're taking the money, these bankers. So we're looking forward to your presentation on what you have to tell us.
Well, good evening, everyone. I will first preface this to tell you that I spent 25 years in banking, but I have been retired 20 years. So a lot of things in banking has changed in the last 20 years. However, I do keep up on a lot of what's going on because I have a daughter in banking as well, and because I have investments. So I try to keep up on what's going on. I will do my best to try and help you tonight, and I look forward to your input and your questions as well, and maybe I can learn something from some of you out there as well.
Yeah. Well, can you start off with the stock market?
Well, we're going to have to start at the ground roots first.
Okay.
And some of that is a little bit of what you and I talked about before. We remember being younger and there not being any chain banks, no Bank of America's, no Wells Fargo's, none of that where you could go to any other bank. You had to bank and cash your checks and do all your banking in my day when you banked with that particular bank. You could not go anywhere else and cash a check at another bank that you did not bank with. Since then, that has changed, of course. And I think what's happening is, as we have, as a society, have become more digitized, retail businesses are struggling to find their places, and the old brick-and-mortar banks that we're used to seeing are in fact fading away. In my community, within a two-mile radius in the last 3 years, a Capital One has closed, a Chase Manhattan Bank has closed, and a Bank of America has closed. So some neighborhoods, banks are being forced to close because customers are doing everything digital. They don't go in the banks anymore like we used to. They do everything on their telephone or on their computers. So banks are having, that's part of one of the reasons why they're closing some of the banks. You probably don't notice it, but over the past 7 years, we used to have over 8,000 commercial banks in the United States. By 2021, we only had 4,236 banks still standing. And that number continues to fall. We actually fell again. Now we're down to 4,100 as of March 31st, 2023. So they are closing, and we just aren't keeping track of it. Wells Fargo led the closures. They closed 267 banks in 2021. U.S. Bank and Trust. Yes, U.S. Bank and Trust was next, and they closed 257 banks. And the states that were hit the hardest was California, Michigan, Illinois, and Florida. So this trend is widespread, and unfortunately, it's been hitting the low-income and minority communities harder than anywhere else. People are being forced to drive farther to make deposits or withdraw cash. But again, most of us don't even see our checks anymore. You know, my retirement check goes directly to the bank. My Social Security goes directly to the bank. Everything goes directly to the bank. We don't see cash anymore. Very rarely do you see cash. Everything is digitized, everything. Most people use their phones to pay their bills. I don't, because I'm an older person, and I just am not, I don't feel very comfortable doing that. But one of the things you have to know is when you're choosing a bank, you have to be very, very cautious. I tell people to look, when you choose a bank, pretend as if you're buying a new car and you're buying a new house. You have to be, you have to find out what they're going to offer you for you to bank with them. There are a lot of banks that will open accounts for you, and they do things like free credit monitoring. They do free overdraft charges. Free checks. There are a lot of that going on. So you just have to do your research, and you can basically do it online. They do free ATM withdrawals, no overdraft charges. My bank doesn't do any of that. Then they have 24-hour customer service. So you have to really look at your banks before you decide where to bank. The other things you need to know is banks are regulated by three different entities. One is the FDIC, the second one is the Federal Reserve, and the second one is OCC, which is Office of the Comptroller of Currency. So for instance, if you take Silicon Valley Bank, the first one we saw that failed, they were not regulated by FDIC. They invested in a lot of cryptocurrency, a lot of technology, and because they were not regulated by the FDIC, they weren't getting regular audits. So they were doing their own thing with no oversight whatsoever. And that can be a problem. But other, I mean, for instance, Wachovia Bank, even Bank of America is not regulated by FDIC. FDIC insures every bank account, your checking, your savings, and CDs for $250,000 each per facility. And anything else that you have, annuities, life insurance policies, a lot of other mutual funds, stock, none of that is covered by FDIC if the bank closes. So you have to take a very close look at your investment portfolio to make sure that you know who your bank is regulated by. And I, in particular, do not like to do business with a bank that is not regulated by FDIC. I find that Federal Reserve over the years and OCC just do not walk in, do audits without the banks knowing. FDIC does do that. So you won't see a lot of banks closing that's regulated by FDIC, but you will see them closing under the Federal Reserve and the OCC. I think right now the FDIC has enough money to cover any losses. I don't think the U.S. government will let people lose their money. FDIC has huge reserves, so they can cover the majority of those deposits. No one at Silicon Valley Bank lost any money. All of those individuals did get their money. So just be careful. As I said, you can Google all your banks online and take a look and see. You can call the FDIC and ask them if they insure that bank, if they regulate it. So I just caution people on being on really looking for the banks. Choose your banks carefully, please. And Tuesday, we saw another failure with the San Francisco Bank, First Republic Bank. They've not closed because six other banks came to their rescue and each gave them $5 billion, which gave them $30 billion for them to be able to give to their customers who wanted to withdraw their money. Here's the problem. If you bank with any of those five banks that bailed out First Republic Bank, remember, they're using your deposits to make this loan to First Republic Bank. And the five banks that did that was J.P. Morgan, Chase Manhattan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Citicorp and Trust. And they still don't know if that $30 billion is going to save First Republic Bank or not. We're going to have to wait and see. The stock market has hit, that dropped Tuesday, dropped Wednesday, dropped again today.
Yes, yeah, so how does that affect us? You know, how does that affect us, you know, with the stock market dropping?
Well, you're going to lose money in your portfolios, particularly if you've got 401ks, IRAs, annuities, stocks, mutual funds. The thing that's probably the best to hold up is treasury bonds. but almost everything else is, you're going to lose money. If you look at your portfolio in the last couple of days, you've lost money. Do I think that means that you have to go and withdraw all your, you know, take your stocks out, the money that you have in your investments? No, I don't. I think this one, of course, they say is worse than what happened to us in 2008. And hopefully most of us on here remember 2008 devastated me for a while. I mean, I was able to make a comeback, and now with this, the comeback has dropped again. So
yeah,
I think if you're young enough and you still have some time, that just like from 2008, you will recover, but it's going to take you a few years to recover. Because
yeah,
I don't think 2008. You remember that one?
Yes, yes, I remember that one.
So
I didn't whip all my stocks. I let them sit, and I had asked you about my stocks that I had now, and you told me to sit on them.
Yeah, I wouldn't. You're young, and they will make a comeback. You just have to be able to ride it out. Now, if people are older, they may not want to do that.
Yeah.
They may want to look into other options, and there are other options that you can look into. It's also a good time to buy some of that stock when it's so low.
Yeah.
If you have availability of funds, I'm going to buy some. So I think with the availability, if you have the funds, I would do it. Another problem we have is a lot of banks are foreign banks that are coming into the United States, and they're doing business here. And a lot of us don't know that they're foreign banks. You need to know that because the U.S. government cannot seize the assets of a foreign bank in the United States. So you need to, Barclays Bank is one of those, which is from the U.K. Credit Suisse Group is Switzerland, which bought out Silicon Valley Bank. HSBC Holding, which is the UK, UBS Group, which I have money invested in, is a Swiss bank, and I'm going to move my money from there because I'm very uncomfortable now that I've read all the rules that the foreign banks don't have to abide by doing business in the United States. I think the government should hold them as accountable as they do American banks that are doing business in America, but the federal government is not doing that.
So where do we stand with what happened in California with the banks? How does that affect the rest of the country?
Oh, I personally think you're going to probably see a few more of them do the same thing that First Republic Bank did. I think people are scared, and rightfully so. We know how much the world has changed in the last 4 or 5 years, not to mention 10 years. So I think you're going to see more bank running, more people making a run on banks to get their money out. And that's what happened with First Republic, is people loaning. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you now, if there's a run on the banks, isn't that what happened with the Great Depression, that it was a run on the banks, and that's what caused that?
That's exactly what it was, yes. And that is, I think that we're not far from that again. I mean, people talk about a recession. I think we're beyond a recession. I think we've been in a recession. I think we're headed. I think we're headed for another great depression.
Yes, I think so as well. Yes.
But people have asked, go ahead.
So with that, that's going to, you know, be just like in the Great Depression where you can't afford to buy food or anything else. And, you know, I know you and I had talked about how this is even going to affect people's mortgages and things. So, you know, this is going to impact the country in a great way.
It is, and I think everyone needs to have, I'm not saying a ton of money at your home, but you need to have some. I think you need to diversify. As I told you, I do buy gold. I have for ever since the 80s. And it's ebbed and flowed, and I've sold and kept and sold and kept. But you're going to need something to barter with. It's also not a bad idea to make sure you buy enough groceries, enough staples that you can keep in your house. If you don't have the kind of money at home that you're going to need, and they're saying now they're suggesting you keep about 6 months worth of expenses, whatever your monthly expenses are, keep six months of that in the banks. But they're also suggesting whatever your expenses are, you keep 6 months that much in cash at home. And all of our expenses are different, but I do keep a small amount of cash at home because you're right. If and when the Depression hits again, you won't be able to buy anything.
Yes. Yeah, and that's not a good thing. That truly is not.
It's not.
People with life insurance policies. I'm sorry.
They're not protected. If that company decides to fold, whatever you have is gone.
Yes.
Just like annuities. Many of us have annuities because they were told to be a safe investment because they're in essence an insurance policy, but nobody that's not regulated. Nobody covers that. Nobody insures that.
Yeah.
So you're at risk for losing it.
Yeah, which is not a good thing.
Yes.
Now with the life insurance, and you lose that. And you can't recover from that. And when you and I spoke, you know, you had told me that even what you have in your safe deposit boxes are not safe, that they will be taken as well.
That's right. When a bank is seized, they seize everything. So if you have a safe deposit box and you have something in it, that will be seized. You probably will not get it.
Yes. Now,
so
if they take over the go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, even when I started out of banking in 1973, I started putting things like my life insurance in the safe deposit box, my deed to my properties, and that kind of stuff, until I realized that they would be seized if anything happened. And many of us probably don't have copies if you have copies, but if your originals are in that safe deposit box, you may eventually get it back, but it's everything is seized once a bank is closed.
Yeah, so when the bank closes, then is that when you can start to see havoc?
Absolutely.
Because people are not able to get their money or anything out of that, and people will be losing their homes because of the mortgages?
Exactly. And if your mortgages are through any of these banks and they close, then they're going to – that's what happened in 2008 with Wells Fargo. Many people – I don't know about other states, but I can tell you about California. Many people walked off and left those homes because – Wells Fargo was closing the banks in 2008. They were not holding your mortgages anymore. People just lost their homes. They refused to make the mortgage payments and just walked away and left the houses there.
Yes, and I'm going to take for granted that this includes your cars and everything else, anything that you have credit with.
Anything that you have loans on, yes.
Wow. We have people that have their hands. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
As I said, it's just like anything else. Try and exercise caution. That's the best thing I can tell you. It doesn't take a lot every day. Everyone knows where their money is. You should know where it is. Once a week or twice a week, check and see where your stock is, you know, how much it is, how much is failing. Keep an eye on it. I watch mine every day.
Yeah.
Because I want to at least be able to go and get money out if I think something is not right.
Yes. You don't really know where your money is because when you make a deposit into the bank, they use your money for something else. You know,
loans. That's how we make loans. That's how we make mortgages. That we invest that money in treasury bills. We invest it in everything. So that's what we do is we use your money that you put on deposit. We use it to function.
Yeah. And charge us for everything.
And in my day, I will tell you, with the smaller banks that I was working for, I did see a lot of white-collar crime. I saw a lot of embezzlement. A lot of embezzlement.
Yes, and now we're seeing it on a larger scale. Oh, my. Now, do you want to tell us what banks not to do business with?
Well, I think, according to, you know, Standard & Poor's, the worst banks they have listed is the number one is Wells Fargo.
Yes.
Number two was Bank of America. Number three was Capital One. Number four was Chase. Number five was Citigroup.
Capital One? Wow.
Capital One.
They're one of the biggest.
And, you know, they have all those credit cards everywhere and banks everywhere opened up in the last 10 years. But
yes.
They got caught a lot. They got about 15 years ago when they first came out, their CEOs, you know, embezzled a lot of money and they got into a lot of trouble and they had to get a new CEO and revamp and do things. They were fined a lot of money by the federal government for, because what they were doing is you were sending in your monthly payment on your credit cards and they were holding them and not processing them, and charging you a late fee.
Yeah.
And that's how they were making their money, was they would just have big plastic black bags of everybody mailing in their payments. They was just throwing them in the corner and not processing them and charging you late fees every month for your credit cards. They eventually lost, and they had to pay customers back. But it took a number of years before you got your money back.
Oh, my. Now, remember in 2009 when Obama came into office that he had that the banks were too big to fail so that they were getting bailouts and everything. Is there any chance that these banks will get that bailout again?
Well, the U.S., I thought that I would see that, but I was surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised with First Republic Bank that the government didn't step in to help. I'm concerned why other banks had to step in to help that bank and not the federal government. It's generally the federal government that steps in to help. So that's a big question in my mind that I plan to talk with my banker tomorrow on, and to find out, and to talk to Mr. Brown from FDIC to find out why the government did not go in and help First Republic Bank. I don't understand it. Why other sister banks had to come in and bail them out. That's never happened before.
Oh, my. So it's a lot of things that has never happened before that we're facing now. Ms. Brown, we have callers with their hands up. If you can just let me know when you're ready to take calls.
Whenever. I'll do my best if I can answer the questions. If I can't, I'll tell you no, that I don't know the answer, and I'll get the answer for you. So go right ahead.
Okay, well, let me take the first one. Erico 77.
Evening
Erico.
To both of you. How you doing?
Good evening, Derek. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Well, you answered my questions. You told me what banks to stay away from, so that was easy. It's interesting because now you mentioned Illinois. I literally just moved from Chicago. I'm here in the Memphis area now. I haven't been here a month now, and I noticed the changes with the banking systems between the two states. They're like night and day. So
and you know
when
what?
I left the
It's funny you say that, because when I was in Memphis, I saw more foreign banks in that city than I had seen in any other city.
And what's interesting now, here, just from what I've been seeing, now Wells Fargo and Bank of America, as far as the big boy banks, they're pretty prominent here. But what's interesting, the people deal more with the local estate banks more than the big ones. Now, the deeper you go into Memphis, as far as going towards the town, the downtown area, you actually see more credit unions.
And
ironically, Chase is not one of the main banks here in the Memphis area. In fact, it's a couple of ATMs. I don't even think they got a branch here. But now, when I left Chicago, Chase was literally on every other corner.
Right.
You can drive so many blocks, there's the Chase, and they were all tripping over each other. But what I learned to do over time, and what I learned to do over time, I never had accounts with those big banks. Now, I was former military, and so I dealt more with the credit unions, like with USAA,
Navy Federal Credit Union was a good one for the military. And I did military banking overseas. I was with American Express, and we ran the military banking divisions overseas.
Okay.
And I
don't know if you're familiar with now in Illinois Credit Union One. That's another credit union I deal with too, but they're locally in Illinois. But just from my experience, as far as building credit, it seems like the right credit union, though, they will work with you and help you build up your credit. Like you can get a credit card, get your car financed, and whatever, as opposed to those big banks. Because I tried to get those things, even with some of the small local banks in Chicago, they wouldn't work with me. But I noticed that with certain credit unions, they will work with you and help you, you know, reach your goals in terms of building up your credit. So
you're right, and you know, with me being a retired commercial banker for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't bank with a bank. I bank with a credit union.
Right.
Bank with USAA. I don't. And Bank of America, I don't know whether you guys know it or not, but they have had 82,000 complaints.
Wow.
From black folks banking while black. They are settling left and right.
That's not good.
For this, no, not good at all. for discriminating against black folks.
Wow.
So I don't even look at a Bank of America when I pass by. I wouldn't go in there, or I'd never bank with them. Never.
Wow.
Now, the Nashville Business Journal have just published an article less than a month ago, right after the story had broke out with those banks closing. Now, the CEO of the Tennessee Bankers Association, he did an interview with the newspaper, and so people were asking him, well, how is that, those closing of those banks, which you're addressing now, how is that going to affect the local banks here in Tennessee? Now, he admitted that. Now, some of the banks did kind of like, in terms of their, not their revenue, but something dealing with their holdings, the actual bank holdings, it dropped a little bit. But what he said would happen, a lot of people actually did what you just said. Some of them pulled their money out and started dealing with some of the smaller local banks. But now what's interesting here, now the brick-and-mortar banks, from what he was saying and what I've been reading, they're really more in demand here opposed to the new school banks because for some reason, like I said, Memphis here, especially the area I'm living at, they're old school. And so that digital banking and everything, they're not with that here. They don't want it.
I asked Judge Joe about Bank of America and Wells Fargo being in Memphis. He said they had not been there very long.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've got one that's called First Horizon or Horizon. That's a foreign bank. I think it's a Canadian bank. But I saw them, and I mean, you guys have banks on every block across the street from one another.
Yes, but that's how Chase was when I was living in Chicago. And it's funny you said that because now I have the list. It's a list called the 15 banks in Tennessee, and Horizon is ranked at number 10. First Horizon is ranked at number 10, but U.S. Bank is ranked at number one.
And all of your city offices and your county offices and everybody, that's who they bank with. And they know that's a foreign bank. So why are they all banking there? That causes me grave concern for Memphis.
Wow. And I don't think a lot of people know that neither. So that's all I have to say. I don't want to talk a lot, whatever. I mean, it was a pleasure speaking with you.
It's always a pleasure to speak with you. I hope to see you when I come back to Memphis in June.
Okay, no doubt. You take care now.
You do the same, sir.
Right.
Okay, let me go to the next caller. Brother Kwame?
Yeah, I was on mute. Good evening, Sister Antoinette, and that's Ms. Brown,
good
correct?
Evening. Yes.
Good evening, Brother Kwame. How are you tonight?
I'm very grateful, and thank you for the insight and the information that helps us to see how to store our money. That's what we're talking about, is where do we store our money? Because
exactly.
If you look at, and this is what I've been doing lately, is looking at, you know, what we use, what we call money is a currency. It's a note. Well, it used to be certificates. And then in 1907, they had a great thing that happened. And then 1913, the Federal Reserve came in. And then there were six kinds of currency. That was that was part of the thing that happened in 1929 in Wall Street crash.
Right.
That there were six different kinds of, and the Federal Reserve was handling that. And see, we used to have certificates which you exchange for gold or silver. Then they created what they call the small size notes.
Right.
Yeah.
Because in 1928. And if you look back at the history of money in this country, it was first, you know, coinage. And there wasn't, and then all of a sudden there came the paper notes. And
that's right.
Part of the,
and at first they were the gold backs.
Yeah, and that was even the greenbacks too, because it was in 1956,
yeah.
And then the first year was 1957, was when the In God We Trust was put on the money, because they used to be called greenbacks. And then you had what was called the half dime. Then they created the nickel. They just used more copper and covered it with nickel.
I have a lot of half dimes that my great-grandmother left me. I had never seen those. And a half cent, I'd never seen those.
Right. And these are the coins.
I've seen them online, but that's all.
I'm sorry, Brother Kwame. Go ahead.
And these were the coinages that were kept in those places we call a bank. And this was the part of what they did. And even when they created the Federal Reserve, the engravement says, okay, we're gonna print these many $100 bills, and we're going to take $500 bills out of circulation. We're going to take $1,000 bills out of circulation. So they downsized the circulation, but then they looked at the banks having the ability to say, okay, we need to they'll put an order in the Federal Reserve and says, send us $1 million in currency from ones to hundreds. The banker gets that million, but in turn, they have $5 to $10 million worth of assets, because they get credit off of how much they get from the reserve. And these are the things that, you know, in understanding how money works, because all it is an exchange of what we used to have certification until the Roosevelt Act, when they said you could no longer own gold, Roosevelt gold confiscation.
Right, that's right.
That they were able to say you were hoarding gold, and so what they did was they made it so you couldn't keep gold.
Right.
There's only a certain amount of gold that is allowed to be kept, because it's the 1933 Executive Order 6102, which banned the hoarding of gold and gold certificates and gold-backed national bank notes. And the Federal Reserve bank notes were withdrawn, and hoarded gold was confiscated. So what they're saying is that they didn't want you to be able to have your own bank.
That's right.
We want to be your bank. You don't have that stashing your gold and having the ability to say, I got $50,000 worth of gold in my house.
Right.
And this is what the banking system has now come to where that they're no longer allowing you to have control. Because if I got $100 in my pocket, the way I spend it is the way I spend it. You can't track me. But now if you take $100 in credit on a credit thing, it tracks your every penny of that $100.
That's right. And you can buy, as you know, you can buy toilet paper and bring it to your house, and they can tell that you bought that toilet paper and it's in your house.
Right, and so that's what I'm sharing. And that's the part of what money, this is the part of the control system that they're putting in place. It's not about the banking. It's going to be who's going to be the main source, because how many people know that J.P. Morgan is the issuer of EBT cards and SNAP cards? How is the Federal Reserve Bank giving out welfare credit cards?
That's right. And I know one woman that I didn't even know what an EBT card was until maybe 3 months ago. And it was a lady that go to the same church that I go. And she says, yeah, I get $3,000 a month on my EBT card. And I said, first of all, what's an EBT card? And then I thought, you mean you don't work, you don't hit a lick at a snake, and you sit at home with your four kids, and you get $3,000 a month from the government on a Visa credit card or something?
Yeah.
Wow.
And even with the silver, when you're saying, this is why they start changing the silver, because now they're putting less silver and more metal They just covenant with silver. This is why they keep recreating the coinage, because they put even Maya Angelou now is on the quarter.
Yes, she is.
Know? And so what we're seeing is less silver, more metal. You have more silver in a 2012 or 2015 car than you do in your pocket. All of the circuitry turn on and work in that car. It's got to be covered with silver so the electrical circuits will work.
Yeah, Nixon took out silver when he was president. He took out the silver.
Well, you know, that was in 71. Kennedy did. I mean, that was the Kennedy half dollar when they were the long silver. That was in 71. They took out the big money, was pulled out, the $500, the $1,000, the $5,000, the $10,000 bills was last printed in 1945. And so you're looking at the Treasury because you're looking at, like you said, okay, how many people is going to have 6 months worth of cash in their house? You need a vault.
Exactly.
You will need a vault to put, if you got
$2,000
mortgage, you got X amount of electrical bills and all your other bills, you need a vault to put that much cash in your house.
You sure do?
Yeah.
What we're looking at is we no longer are our own banks. That's why they said, you know, our great-grandparents slept on their money. They put it in the
bank. My grandparents never banked. And I will tell you, my husband was that way. He was born before the Great Depression. And Larry didn't, even though I was a banker, he did not trust banks.
Never trust banks. And we have to go back to the part of the Freeman's Bank. We've seen what the government did. How many people know about the Freeman's Bank, that they took all the money of our ancestors that was in those Freeman banks that we started doing banking for ourselves?
That's right. They don't know that.
And that's why Sherry says money only stands for MONEY, my own natural energy yields. It's the exchange that you use. That's the currency is now electronic. It's barcode. It used to be coinage. It used to be paper. It used to be the value of mineral wealth. It's no longer that because they've taken more and more of your control of your energy resources from you.
Yeah, and when I went to find out how you know what did billionaires keep their money in their bank, or what did billionaires do? And they said, yes, some of them keep it in banks, but they keep tens of millions of dollars in cash in their homes.
Right. That's why when you watch most movies, you'll see people go to their vaults, especially in these drug deal parks. You open up the thing, they got stacks. I mean, this is where black folks start talking about stacks, because they've learned that money comes in different denominations and stacks. That's the way they bank.
Sure do. Yep. And then you got all these people that launder money. That's all cash. You know, that's how when I was a banker, you could bring in 10 briefcases of cash, and I didn't have to report that to the Internal Revenue. I didn't need your Social Security number when you opened a bank account with me back then. But now they want your Social Security number and anything over $10,000, whether you're depositing it or withdrawing it, they report it to the Internal Revenue.
Right, because Vegas would do, the way they counted money was by the weight. They didn't count it by each bill. They counted it by the weight. That's how they had scaled money. It was by the weight. How many stacks that they had could tell by the weight how much money was in there on that pallet.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thank you for sharing. But we need to understand too. We need a little history to see what we come from, to what we're getting into.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you, Brother
Kwame.
That goes back,
Brother Kwame, to them saying, if you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
A penny costs $1.16 to make, and is only worth a penny.
Yeah.
That's how much it costs for the mint to print a penny.
My Lord.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Brother Kwame. Let me take the next caller. Erica 404.
Hey, Yehudu, Antoinette. How you doing, Antoinette and Ms. Brown?
Good evening. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Brown, you hit it right on the head by Bank of America, because in Atlanta, I don't know if you know this guy, that's a big movie director, a black guy named, what's his name, Ryan Coogler,
Ryan Coogler. Didn't he do Black Panther?
Yes, ma'am. And he was at the bank, you know,
he went in to withdraw his own money, and they called the police on him.
Yes, ma'am, a black lady, too, tell her, man. That's the point I'm trying to make. When are we going to learn to take our money, like Brother Ray said, at least pick one bank, Bank of America? We should take our money away from them, man. But I deal with a black bank, all right? So can you recommend some black banks to the people that's listed? Because I got a good black bank.
You do have a good one? Well, okay, share
yes,
it
ma'am.
With me.
I know you heard of Citizens Trust Bank. They've been since the 20s,
yes.
man.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. They're good.
Have you been with them?
Yes, ma'am. I've been with them for 10 or 15 years. I think they got some branches in Alabama, too. I don't know about Tennessee. But I tell you how good they are. They don't have too many branches, but I made a purchase with Amazon, and immediately they knew my algorithm. And they shut my card down, saying, well, I seem like some shady stuff going on, because they knew I never ordered nothing from Amazon. So they checked your account real good.
They know your spending habits, and if something is out of your spending habits, it automatically mm-hmm. sends a fraud alert. And that's good banking. That's good banking, yes.
So I recommend Citizens Trust Bank, man, to everybody. They're a good black bank, man. They're well established. I think they just hit a couple of $1 billion on accounts. I think they're up to $1 billion in reserves or whatever. They're a good bank, man.
I'm gonna look into that. I'm gonna look into that tomorrow. But Bank of America, I mean, a black female doctor here had got her first paycheck, and it was $16,000, and she went into Bank of America here. It's closed. She sued them, and they settled, and that bank had to close. So I don't know what her settlement was, because she didn't disclose that. She couldn't, but she went in to cash her check. They called the police on her. They said, you're not a doctor. She gave them her business card. She had her medical license, everything. They called the police and had her arrested, said she had stole a check.
Abby dog, these folks rather see a monkey with a diamond ring than see black people with anything, man.
I'm here to tell you. Yes, they do.
But see, a lot of them banks like Wells Fargo, they used to be Wachovia, did First Union before then. And they find that slavery. See, especially them banks in North Carolina. If you got a bank like Wells Fargo that's established in North Carolina, nine times out of ten, them banks was financing slavery, man. So, Kwame talking about know your history. Know the history of the bank y'all banking with, man.
Exactly.
This is a joke, man.
Exactly.
I can't. We, like Brother Ray say, man, we too much of financing our own oppression, man. What the heck wrong with us, man?
Yeah,
we need to
straighten up and fly right. We got to get our stuff
yes,
together.
Yes, ma'am. Because the only person really stopping us is us. The only person stopping us is us. And see, the
You're
big
right.
banks don't fail. Like First Republic, they gone. All them bankers that financed slavery And the Jewish that spoke running the banks, like, they finna fail. They're the main one gonna fail. God ain't playing, man. After that, we gonna all right. When the pressure hits, it's gonna tear them devils up, not us, man. So we good, man. That's why I don't even say nothing like that. But I'm gonna let somebody else talk, man. We good, black people. Okay, when the white folks catch hell, we in heaven, man. They finna catch hell. We going there. We gonna be in heaven, man. So imagine, quit saying that stuff.
Nope, I agree
with
it. I agree with you. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I mute myself. Y'all keep the show moving. Good job, Ms. Brown.
Thank you, sir. Good talking to you.
Yes. If anybody else has a question or a comment, if you press 1, we can open up your line, and you can speak with Ms. Brown. If not, then we can move forward. Okay, Ms. Brown, now, well, look, I have so many things in my head, I can't get it out. Okay, we have another caller, and I can think of what it was, 36. Sister Paris?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Antoinette. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, you're loud and clear.
Okay, and greetings to your guest. What I want to know, what can you tell me about Constant Credit? I've been banking with my bank in North Carolina since 83, and when I moved from Florida, they were the only ones, at that time it was Old Stone, and then it changed to Perpetual, and then it changed to another one, and then it changed to Truist now.
Wow.
That's the name of it. God, it's been changed a whole lot. But I got Constant Credit when I turned 50. And man, they are really wrecking. I tell you, they charged me like 20% interest. And
oh my!
Yes.
Goodness!
It's very hard right now for me to pay that down, but I'm going to pay it down because I've had to borrow. But anyway, what's your read on Constant Credit? They give you a line when you're an elder or 50, you can borrow, like for overdraft. If you go over your amount that comes to the bank, yes, ma'am, you can go into that. And they gave me a line of $1,400, and I had to use that. And it's been very, very challenging now.
It's so expensive to borrow that money. That's the problem.
Oh, okay. So
that's why the interest is so high. They're making money on you. They're not doing you any favors.
I know this. And I'm in prayer because of my situation. You know, when I was in rehab, what they did, disability, they said that I owed them almost $12,000 because I stayed in the rehab too long. And it was like they were giving me money, my disability, and I was being cared for, but I was in rehab, and I wasn't able to argue that. So they took a big chunk out of my check, and right now I'm dealing with $700 a month that I got to pay rent and everything. Mm-hmm. So I was just wondering what would be the best way to get to knock that, I don't know.
If you have good credit, you may be better off going to a credit union and borrowing several thousand dollars and paying them off and getting rid of that line of credit, because they're just going to keep charging you more interest and more interest and more interest, and you'll never pay that debt off.
God damn. Okay. Okay. I'm in prayer.
Well, we're going to pray
for
you as well.
Ma'am.
No, you're not.
I said, and we're going to pray for you as well.
I appreciate that. Okay, thank you, Sister Antoinette, for allowing me to ask you that. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank us. Peace.
Thank you. Peace. Okay, Ms. Brown, so where do we go from here? You know, we've seen this replay before, you know, with the Great Depression. I'm sure that none of us were alive when that happened, but we know about it. You know, our parents or grandparents have went through it, and, you know, we see what they went through, you know, through history. So now let me ask you, the banks that have changed names and the banks that are not in this country, you know, like Canada and things like that, should we stay with those banks that are out of the country?
You mean the foreign banks that are doing business in the United States?
Yes.
Well, as I said, my only concern with them is our federal government is not holding them accountable. You know, so I'm a little bit scared about banking with foreign banks. I really, really am. Because, as I said, the government does not hold them accountable like they hold the U.S. banks. I'm surprised that the federal government has allowed so many foreign banks when our own American banks are failing. I don't understand why they're allowing so many foreign banks to come into this country when we already have a problem.
Yes, I know. Now, my bank is one of the foreign ones. You know, it's a Canadian bank. But it's also protected by the FDIC as well.
It's protected by them, yes. But, again, the federal government cannot, if the foreign banks decide that they want to leave, the U.S. government cannot freeze foreign bank assets. And foreign banks don't report to the United States. They report to FATCA, which is the foreign account tax compliance. For regular foreign banks report account numbers, your balances, your names, your addresses, that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
I just personally wouldn't do it because they can pick up and close up tonight and be gone tomorrow back in Canada, and then there's nothing you can do.
Okay, so then if they did that, you know, you have a credit card through them, then you're no longer responsible for that credit card, or will they still be able to?
They're going to sell it to some old collection agency in a few years that's going to come back after you and start asking you to pay the old credit card. But as you well know, every state has a debt.
Yeah.
You can no longer collect on a debt. So you just need to know when you in your state. In Texas, they can't collect on a debt that's older than 3 years old.
So
every state is different. So I would look at Delaware and see, you know, when can they no longer come back on the debt? So if you don't pay a lot of debts, they sell your paperwork to collection agencies, and these collection agencies come after you and say, "Will you pay this debt?" If that debt's older than 2 or 3 years old,
you just write them back and said, fired. You can't collect in this state, whatever your state is. And you can Google that. And I do have it somewhere here, and I can find it for you for Delaware. But, you won't be responsible for the credit card debt. They will come back at you at some point. They'll never let you get away.
Right. That's true. And they'll go through
your
family and everything else.
You bank with the credit union, don't you?
No.
Oh, you bank with the retail.
Not a credit. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
As we have another person with their hands up, code 732.
Good day to everyone. You know, my sister went through something like that with a credit card. She had a credit card, and they sold her credit card from one credit card to another. So
right.
Anyway, we were going to court, and we were fighting. So they said, oh, no, just because somebody brought her credit, that doesn't mean she doesn't have to pay it. I said, but she never had a contract with these people or anything. So
that's right.
Mm-hmm. So I said, well, if you're denying us and everything, I know it used to be legal whenever you had a debt, if you offered to pay a dollar,
They have to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
That's still the law. They still have to accept it. But if she did not sign a contract with them, here's what I do. I write to them and say, send me a copy of the application where I applied for that credit card with you and prove to me that I owe you. 9 times out of 10, they can't prove that to you, and I don't pay the debt.
Mm-hmm. So since they kept denying it, that, you know, rather she signed the contract, I said, okay, well, what we'll do is we'll give them a dollar. And she had big, big credit cards. So anyway, they couldn't deny the dollar. So she started paying the dollar, and then a couple of months went by, and they sent her a letter saying it was closed.
That's right, because they don't want. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do, because they know that there's nothing they can do but take the dollar, 50 cents, if that's all she could give them. And
mm-hmm.
they're not going to sit around 15 and 20 years and wait for that, so they are going to write it off. But you got to take the initiative to say, I'm not going to pay you, or this is all I can afford to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have any choice. They have to accept it. I have the book right here that I was looking for to tell you guys in your states what are your number of years that your debt is no longer collectible, whether it's a hospital bill or anything. It has a statute of limitations on it, and you don't have to pay it after that time frame.
Okay.
I'm going to see if I can find a chapter here that talks about it.
Oh.
I use this book all the time because I fight all the time. And your sister did the smart thing. And that was not... tell them what she could only pay. Like I said, if she had said 50 cents, that's what they had to take.
Okay. Is it
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Sister Antoinette?
Yes.
The state of Arizona is where I'm in. I'm just curious.
Okay, I'm going to try to find it for you right now to tell you the state of Arizona.
Yes, ma'am.
3 years. If it's older than 3 years, it's non-collectible.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
What about Jersey?
Delaware is 3 years. For open account credit cards,
Open accounts, credit cards, any written contracts is 3 years. In Delaware and in Arizona, it's 3 years. For credit cards, any written signed contracts is 6 years.
Okay, thank us.
What about New Jersey?
Ms. Brown. New Jersey?
New Jersey. Okay, go ahead.
New Jersey is credit cards is 6 years. Written contracts is 6 years. Not a good state to be in.
Now, what about if they're electronically signed? You know how now everything is electronic?
I'm sorry?
What about if they're electronically signed?
Oh, I don't know. This doesn't cover electronic signatures. I would think that they would fall under written contracts.
Okay.
But as I said, if they come after you for any credit card debt, and that debt is older than most states are 3 years, California's four, most of them are three, and you don't have to pay them.
Now, what about
all you do is write the letter and say the statute of limitations has expired, and you can no longer collect on this debt. And as soon as they collect, yes, sir.
Yeah, and the thing that I want to see for this, okay, Texas, if you got a credit card coming out of, say, of some credit card company in Texas, and I live in Georgia, you said 3 years is Texas limit. Does that also apply to Georgia? Because I didn't get the card in Georgia, but I reside in Georgia.
Let me look at Georgia. Georgia, the credit cards are 4 years. Texas is 3 years.
Right, but when I got the credit card from Texas, which owed the debt is owed to, but I live in Georgia, so which limit statute of limitations apply?
The state you live in.
Okay.
Well, that was a good question. That was a good question for the Kwame. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Mrs. Brown.
Man, what about mortgages? You hear me?
Oh, you know what? This one doesn't talk about mortgages. I don't think I live and die by this book because I help so many people get out of debt that they don't know they don't have to pay. So I'm checking to see if they got mortgages in here. But if you guys don't have this book, I would suggest you get it. It's called Debt Cures. And it's everything they don't want you to know about your money and turning bad debt into good credit and creating wealth and finding out what the financial industry, why they want to keep you in debt.
Mr. Brown, who's the author?
The author is Kevin Trudeau.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I have books from him where he was doing it on pharmaceutical, things like that.
Yeah.
Now, what about liens?
I'm sorry?
What about liens? People that have liens on them for not paying their credit card bills and things like that.
If they're over their 3 years, they're not collectible.
That's simple.
Any debt that exceeds that statute of limitation, they can't collect on it. And I will tell you, I've written to many companies and tell them the statute of limitations has expired. You cannot collect this debt. They immediately cease and desist because they know they don't expect you to know that.
That's right.
Right. So now does the person have to wait 3 years after getting the lien, or does that go into account to how, excuse me, somebody got some background noise. Does that account for after the lien is placed is 3 years, or is it from the date from which the debt is owed?
From the date from which you incur the debt.
Okay. So, okay, Brother Wesley.
So we just need
a moment.
Okay.
Is West gonna
okay,
call
Brother
him?
Wesley. Or okay. Wait 1 second, please. Brother Wesley, you trying to say something?
Oh, yeah. I was just talking about your mortgage because I'm trying to refinance.
You're not clear. We can't hear you.
Yeah, I'm talking about these mortgages because I'm in the arm and I'm trying to refinance. And so they saying my credit score is 611, but I know how to get this credit score up. I know what to do, but I just trying to refinance, man. For anybody
you
that's trying to get this.
You want to refinance or have you thought about a HELOC?
I thought of what now?
Have you thought about a HELOC instead of refinance?
Whatever I could use. I know you're talking about a home equity thing, right? That's a home equity, right?
A home equity line of credit, yes.
Okay, well, I just want to refinance, but they say my credit score is too low, but I know how to get my credit score back up like I did before. If I go to a jewelry store and finance a ring for something and pay only like 3 months, your credit score automatically go up.
So buy the ring and when are we getting married?
That was good on that one.
I knew I would get you.
Yeah, you got me good on that one, Ms. Brown. I'm tough on that.
But then if you go get the prepaid credit card, your credit will go up even quicker.
Absolutely. And within 3 months, your credit will be back up to the 750 and above. It could be as small as $300 credit card that you prepaid or $500. That's the best way to start your credit over.
Okay, appreciate it.
If you owe,
I know credit cards when you pay them, it can't be with another credit card or anything, but say like if you pay with gold, how does that change everything if you pay with a gold bar or silver bars or whatever? How does that change that? Doesn't it take away the interest or something?
Well, you would have to, I would think if you have a gold bar or gold coins, you would have to do like I do. I sell my gold coins when the price of gold goes up, and then I just take my cash and pay off things that I want to pay off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I could change this for a moment. Ms. Brown, do you want to tell us anything about the pharmaceuticals, especially when it comes to this COVID and how they're made? You know, who makes them, and do we benefit from using the pharmaceutical medication?
Boy, you know, that's a tough one for me because I'm sleeping with the enemy. Because I'm retired from Pfizer, and all my investments, the majority of my investments are in Pfizer, so that's where my money comes from, and it's there. That's a tough one for me because I'm partial to Pfizer because I know that all of the income that they make, they turn around and put it all back in research and development. And that company I trust a lot. But you have to be careful with anything. And
And it's not necessarily, well, I guess it does fall on the pharmaceutical company, because medication works differently in Anglo-Saxons, in Asians, than it does in African-Americans. And doctors have a tendency to prescribe medication across the board and not take into account that there are a majority of the clinical trials when we are developing new pharmaceuticals, 99% of the time there are no African Americans in the clinical trials. So
yes, and it's not something that's on the paper.
No. So we don't really know how a lot of that medication works in African Americans because they're not part of the clinical trials.
Look, could I ask a question, Ms. Brown?
Yes, sir.
And excellent point about Pfizer and how they do their research and how they invest in and their money back in research. The part of it is that basically all pharmaceuticals are copies of what is in natural sources. Kind of
that's right.
The point. And that, and in that part of that natural resources, because the farm you see is in the forest. All of those plants that's growing around in the forest and growing in nature is the pharmacy. The farm you see with your eyes, but you don't know how to extract it and use it for your recovery or your wellness. And these are the challenges, what they've been able to do, having the botanists and the people that study the plants and using extractions for testing on animals. But like you said, they test, and more so the whole medical industry learn medicine basically on the same thing that they tested on is white rats for white people.
That's right.
They use black rats. Medicine, they use white rats because they're making medicine for white people. Cure, and this is what we have to begin to understand. And you brought up the excellent point, because a white person, an Asian person, and a black person, we have all the same organs, but we have a different as far as what you know, they're melanemic, where the yellow person has a little melanin, where the black person has a lot of melanin. So we're going to respond to nature's resources different. This is what This is what we did once upon a time when we had the conjure women and the people, the great-grandmothers and the mothers that were herbalists that knew, if I go dig this root up, take it, dry it out, and mix it with this piece of material, and take that and give it to you, that would cure what was going on in you, because they knew what would respond to us better than it can do the master.
That's right.
And we turned around, and this is all they're doing, is that because you can't get a patent on a natural plant, but
right,
you can get the chemical makeup, the composition of it, copy it, and then make a synthetic, and this is where the body differs from when it responds to it. Your response to a plant that's made in a pharmacy and a plant that somebody gives you out of the earth, your body's going to respond to it different, and ours will take it better.
Do you know they say...
Yes.
They say back in the day, like the farmers, the word started F. So when they started changing up all this stuff on us, when they realized our DNA was 9, Asians' DNA is 3, the Caucasians, 9, 6, and 3. So we are 9. The Asian people is 6. The Caucasians is 3. So when they realized that our DNA was the highest DNA, they changed that word from farming the F, the pharmaceutical, with the P, just like you're saying. So anything came through there at that time was not for our system. And just like with me, years ago, I had lived in this apartment building. So the man downstairs was a big, big drug addict. So I lay in the bed at night trying to sleep. I couldn't because of the smell coming up. So I went to my doctor. He gave me this prescription to help me sleep. The daggone prescription made it worse. So anyway, I called the doctor back, and he said, no, just stop taking it. He said, you just stop taking it. He said, it's not for your system. And no matter what I said to that doctor, he wouldn't tell me the fact of it. But he just kept saying, don't take it, don't take it. It's not for your system. And even now, it's amazing how when things come back to you, you begin to realize how real it is. But that was all I wanted to say. And all this stuff, this, what is this they call it, this daggone virus and stuff, that was to destroy every one of us they could. They offered me $2,000 to take that shot. And
wow.
I didn't say anything. I just kept the letter. But it's all to destroy us. And see, that's part of us. Go ahead.
No, what I was going to share, you're right, because 369 is the universal code. And 9 is the key to the whole thing, because you can take 9 and you can put it with any number and it'll still bring out 9. Nikola Tesla used that, and that is the universal code is 369. And we are the highest red. That's why they say we have 9 ether, African American, or the African, the melanated people. Is the 9, because we are the key. We are the original human.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And one more thing I wanted to say, too, is everybody needs, we all need oxygen more than anything. We need oxygen in our bodies. If any time, I don't know if anybody realizes it, but if you're not feeling well, and you go outside, you feel better. And then what I even picked up on, when I go outside, I pull in as much of that as I can. The outside air now, they're saying it's bad, but it's still better than being in the house. So no matter what illness you have, make sure you get you some. I'm not talking about the thing you go and put over your nose. I'm talking about just going outside and getting that oxygen. If you're in your house and you don't have that much air coming in, put a little fan in your window or something. And when you pull that oxygen in, do it 3 times or as much as you can. You'll feel a difference in your body.
But could I add to that for you? And
please.
The thing that you're doing. And the thing that's happening with all of the EMFs that we're living in, especially in urban areas, the radio waves and their mixing with oxygen takes the moisture out. And it's harder than living, you know, like, yeah, in the house and then coming outside, yeah, there's a difference because of that. But you take that person coming outside on a city street and take that person and put him outside in a park area or a forest, you get a different frequency of oxygen. You get more moisturized oxygen than you do with that oxygen that you have in an urban street.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And especially now, because they got all type of garbage in this air now.
Yeah.
Ms. Brown, now tell me what you know or what you think. Now, Pfizer is the one that is coming under a lot of scrutiny over the jab, the vaccine. And also, it takes, you know, usually 10 years for them to do, you know, the proper studies and everything before they put out a vaccine. And as you and I and everyone else is aware of, they did not have 10 years to do this, and they pushed this. Do you have anything, you know, not just Pfizer, but all of the pharmaceutical companies?
No, it normally takes a drug about 10 years before it goes through phase one and through and all the way to phase four before it can be brought to the market. My understanding about the vaccine is that they had already, it was already in the works. And ever since the Ebola thing came out. So that's why they were able to bring it to market very quickly. Now, is that true or not? I don't know, but that's what they told us.
Okay. Now, how does, do you think that the vaccine and everything, that the run on the markets and the banking, do they collide together? Do they come together in any way?
Well, I don't know, except you know as well as I do, the business of America today is business. And
yes.
It could very well be aligned. It could very well be aligned. You just can't trust anything anymore. Well, I don't think we ever could, really.
Yes. But okay, I we have another caller. Just a moment, please.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Area code 313. Miss Cameron.
Oh, okay. I had you all on the speaker. Blessings, everybody. I dropped off the screen, so I missed a little bit, but I just wanted to say what I've heard is very good, and I thank you. Very good, Ms. Brown.
thank you so much, Ms. Weston.
I've been listening since the beginning, you know.
Oh, good.
I'd like to say I dropped off. I nodded a little bit on you, but what I've heard is very good. My grandmother's grandmother, they were near the Selma area, and I was told that the people in that area had to go see her before the doctor would see them in Selma. That's how good she was with the herbs, you know. But I also heard that when this COVID first came out, that vaccine had a synthetic thing in it, and that it continues to grow, and there's no way to control that. And that was one of my reasons for not wanting it, because if it continues to grow and you can't control it, that means it's going to overtake the immune system sooner or later, you know? So I just want to know, what are your thoughts on that?
I think you're absolutely right. I think, to be honest with you, I don't think the United States has a good grasp on this virus, and I think this is going to be with us for many years to come, and I don't think there is a cure for it.
They also said, Ms. Brown, that it was going to change our DNA because of what you were saying. The 369% thing, it said that
right.
It would change our DNA. It's going to change theirs too. So I guess they're trying to increase theirs and decrease ours.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, Miss, good evening, Miss Kim.
Bless you.
But I wanted to, we're talking about banking. Pfizer is a very large corporate pharmaceutical corporation. They bank with who?
You know, I wish I could remember where my checks came from, but I can't remember.
J.P. Morgan.
Oh.
Oh, that makes sense. Probably so.
So it's looking at, they're all tied together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's
one invests in the other. All of the larger corporations, they invest in each other. even when everybody was talking about Trump, that bank with no bank in America, he's a German Dutch bank, and I think one Swiss bank, he that's where his billions are at. He doesn't even invest in American banks.
Is Trump German?
No, but he can bank in he can bank in countries.
Yeah. You know, that's amazing, Kwame, because I was just thinking, I always say health before wealth. But then I was getting ready to say the banks, all of the pharmaceuticals are all together. And there goes the health and the wealth right there. The wealth, the health of the people taking us, trying to take us down both ways, health and wealth, you know?
And
yes,
Ms. Kim just gave us the great example. Before a doctor would see a patient, they had to go to the herbalist, which was her great-grandmother or grandmother. That's how much our ancestors knew, and they were trusted because you look at for them, before there was a lot of more physicians and living in a rural area, you had to depend on that woman having the knowledge to give your child the necessary things to make it whole again.
Yes.
That is the bank. The bank is the earth.
Yeah.
The bank is the earth?
Bank is the earth because everything that you use to sustain ourselves is on this planet. Water, trees give us oxygen. We grow our food in the earth. Earth is your bank.
That's right, health and wealth. Yeah, I got it now, what I was saying before. Yes.
Yeah, Ms. Brown, now in case the banks do fail, I know that from what I've read that there's an order in which there is the payout, that first it goes to the billionaires, then to the millionaires, then to the bank's credits for, you know, for whatever they owe, and from the least amount it goes to the people. Now, after all of that's taken out, that we really have, it's going to be enough in the banks to pay out what was in your account. Ms. Brown? And maybe she stepped away.
But you know what, though? I never hear the bank say they pay back 100%. So naturally, it's who's not going to get paid as much as they should is going to be the little people. What do they pay back?
The question is, how will you be paid? Are you going to be given a debit card? Are you going to be given, or can you go and say, okay, I have $20,000 cash. I want $20,000 cash that I can take from the bank and take to that. And in the transaction, like she said, if you over anything $10,000, you got to report to the IRS. So if you taking that out because the bank is lost or shutting down, that's going to be filed that you're going to have to pay where it was already put in the bank as being something that was your nest egg. Now you got to pay money on it before you can get it.
Yeah, well, that's the same thing I'm saying. You're not getting all your money back, period, because it doesn't cover. I think they only cover 200. I forgot what it is, but you never hear them say they cover. Yeah. So that's not 100% of what you have in there. So if you're not, if they're saying that, they're telling everybody you're not getting your money back. So just like
well,
Anthony
if you
was
have
saying,
it all, in, yeah, if you have over 250,000, so you know it's probably good to have it in different banks.
Yes, you get more back that way, hopefully. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Wow.
So can you tell what happened to
Ms. Brown?
Hey,
this conversation is too up. Probably cut it off. Antoinette, you know when I was trying to dial in, I had to dial in 6 times?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm glad I kept trying.
And then my you dropped and can't get back in.
Yeah. This is one of the most, health and wealth went on. Wow.
Well, I'm glad you all went to the cash because I was going to ask her about this crypto stuff because what I keep hearing is supposed to go in effect in May.
What's that, Ms. Kim?
The money going to the coin, the crypto, whatever they call
really?
It.
Really?
He signed
wow,
it last year.
That.
Biden signed the bill last year in March.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's why they're fighting President Trump so hard. Back when Kennedy was in, Kennedy tried to bring this gold standard back. That's why they killed Kennedy. Now, someone messaged Tesla a minute ago. So for some reason, you know how Tesla tried to do this, he tried to do that, and they would stop him from doing it, right?
Yeah.
So I believe that Tesla is President Trump's, let me try to get it right, President Trump's father's uncle or something. And so, see, this is why they're fighting President Trump so hard. I don't know if anybody remembers before how people got jobs. He gave them the good insurance and everything. And so this
yeah.
is what President Trump is up to. He's trying to bring that gold standard back. And I know nothing's going to happen to him, but I just don't understand how we've never heard. Oh, I don't know if anybody remembers. They did try to take his life one time. He was speaking, and they had to rush him off stage. But that wasn't a big attempt. And the thing I keep thinking is, wow, they're not trying to take his life. But I guess we don't know what goes on behind doors either. But Trump is trying to bring that gold standard back.
All right, excuse me for 1 second. 5 minutes left in this live program. Forgive me for the short notice. So you have to call in if you have a question or a comment. And, man, if anybody has the number, if you can say it for me real quick.
Yes.
I would appreciate it.
3949. I'm sorry. 9343. You want me to say it again? I think I got it complete in my head now.
Yes, please.
151. Okay, go ahead.
No, 515. Again, that number is 515-605-9343. Call in. You know, it's just 5 minutes left in the live program. And press the number 1 if you have a question or a comment. Thank you. And I want to remind y'all, don't forget Dry Bones on Sunday for the Helios Delios at 10 a.m. and Brother Ray at 3 p.m., no matter where you are in the world, at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Brother Ray is on, and not on here, but everyone to remember to drum, and so don't want y'all to forget that. Brown, are you back? You must have had to step away for a moment.
Sister Antoinette.
Yes, ma'am.
If Mrs. Brown gets back, I wanted to know the statute of limitations for North Carolina.
Oh, okay. She didn't. I thought she told you. Okay.
No, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay. Well, when she gets back, you can ask her that. Yes.
Okay. Thank us. All right. I'll mute.
You're welcome. Okay. Well, I hope y'all are getting a lot out of this, that it was helpful, because that was what we were really.
We are, Sister Antoinette. I'm grateful I was able to chime in.
Yes, I am too. I'm so glad that you were. You know, I'm glad that everyone was, because, you know, as I said, this is vital information that we needed, you know, to know what was going on and, you know, just how to prepare for ourselves. Because, you know, we can have some dark days ahead of us. But just so that we don't become in a panic, you know, when we see things unfolding, that, you know, we don't go crazy as we see the world going crazy.
And you know, one of the reasons I was mentioning that is because we were talking about them having control of our money to the point that they can cut our money off. If they don't like who we voted for, who we donated to.
Yes.
That they're in control about our finance.
Yes,
and they're
you know,
not
the
elected officials.
That's right. That's right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
I want to know what can we do about it.
Oh, Ms. Kim, I don't know.
And I know it's hard for us not to put our money in the banks, but what else can we do but not put it in there?
Yes, and then, you know, for the money that you do have in the bank, you know, because everything's done electronically, you know, you get paid and everything. You don't get cash. It goes directly into the bank. You know, it's direct deposit. Everything is direct deposit now.
That's why they started that. Them cards, I've always hated them cards. They demand it for pay. They demand it for your work pay. They say they demand it for this, everything. But sometimes we just have to look like a lot of people getting Social Security. It does not have to go through the banks.
Yes, it does. Where do you get it at? That's the only way I know that you get it is through the bank. You know, you have to... They only do direct deposit.
I get Social Security. I get mine through the mail. There are, I forgot how many people, it's a lot of people still don't get their mail, their Social Security like that. Every now and then they'll send something in the mail saying, it's the law, you have to. But I just go on and keep getting it the way I'm getting.
It's not the law.
No, it's not.
It's not
right.
No, it's not the law.
But that's what they want us all to think. I know there is some of them on. Sophia, is it? Because what happened is when I was switching everything over from the VA, the VA, believe it or not, insisted on sending me checks. I don't know if something was going on with them or whatever at the time that they couldn't do it direct, but I was glad they couldn't. So, they, you know, probably none of it really has to be done direct. You know, they just tell us that. Oh, and another thing
is,
right? It
might be the kind of account you open.
Social Security? But
I was saying it might be the, go ahead.
Then, if you, years ago, right, because I was getting Social Security for my children, and it used to say you had to cash them checks within 90 days. Then when all this mess started going on the checks now, you have a whole year. So you can see how they switched it. So the people, they'll say, okay, you know, we're just going to make them believe and think
that that's how they have to do it. But the reason they changed it from 90 days to a whole year is because they feel like the people that know what's going on and keep them checks, they got up to a year to keep it. So this way, whatever's going on with the system or whatever, and you keep them checks, you don't just have that 90 days. Now you have the whole year.
Excuse me, I just got a text from Ms. Brown, and her internet dropped. Her phone connection dropped because her internet dropped.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a loss. Oh, what a loss. When you talk to it, tell her I say this is one of the best calls we ever had, health and wealth.
They did it.
Yes, they did. Yes.
But did you notice when the car, when she got dropped off, when she started talking about Pfizer and connecting that algorithms in that you say certain things, they will, you know, flag you, and with her saying that, you know, she had the connection with them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. They took her away from us. Shucks. They said, you ain't getting all that news out there.
But this is what we're up against, and this is why we have to, we can use the techno-spiritual for a point, but we have to begin to network in ways that we communicate with each other and sharing information, because when you start disseminating truth that can free people, they don't want you to do that.
Wow.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Sister Antoinette?
Yes.
I have a question. It's kind of off subject, but it pertained to last night, and thank you. Greetings, Ms. Kim. On your show last night, Sister Antoinette, was at the beginning, was one of those selections, Ms. Kim's, was that her? When you were giving honor to, what's the guy? Yes, thank you. Good Lord, my brain. I went to the doctor's family yesterday, and the driver did not buckle my chair down, and I'm telling you, I got a warning about 15 minutes before it happened. When he turned the corner to get on I-10 to go to Tucson, me and my chair flip-flopped, and I ended up between my chair and the wheel well on the van that was taking me to the doctor in Tucson. And I was my brain is something going on with all of that. But was that Miss Kim yesterday that you played? I think it was the second or third selection.
Do you remember what was in the song?
Oh, God, Sister Antoinette, you would have to ask me that. But did you play in the beginning? I say in the first 30 minutes, was Miss Kim one of those selections? It was a woman.
A Little More Love?
I think so.
That was Miss Kim.
Miss
Kim, are you still here? Miss Kim, if you have yourself on mute, could you please take yourself off?
I had me on mute. I'm just talking and I'm on mute. You played a song by Modern and Diane.
May have been whom?
Marvin Gaye and Diana Ross.
Oh.
Well, I'll have to go back. Okay. It was I know it couldn't have been more than the fourth one. So it had to have been the third one. I was in going through some stuff, but I was listening, okay? And it was beautiful. And I'm like, dang, is that Miss Kim back there? Woo!
You played two songs by me, though, didn't you?
Yeah.
Or you played Lift Every Voice. You played Lift Every Voice.
Yeah, and I also played A Little More Love.
But that was at the end, wasn't it?
No, I played that in the beginning too.
A Little More Love. That's what it was. That was you, Miss Kim, wasn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
It made me cry.
Did it?
Yes, ma'am. Sometimes when things are very powerful, it makes me cry. Not because I'm sad, because it was beautiful.
Thank you, darling.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank us. I love you. Thank you, Sister Antoinette. I'm going to mute again and just listen.
Mama, that thing on YouTube with me singing that in England, the first time I went to England, and the Beatles, Brown of the Beatles introduced me.
Miss Kim, I feel compelled to say this to you. I was out in Miracle Valley Tuesday doing a ceremony, and your name came up again. And I'm envisioning, and it was solidified by that song yesterday, or last night rather, that I'm imagining people of color, copper, coming to Miracle Valley, singing a healing to that land. I'm working on that right now. And for those who may be on the line who are not aware of Miracle Valley, Arizona, look it up on the contraption. It was created by Reverend A.A. Allen. And I'm hoping to get his son on Dr. V's show shortly. We had a reasoning about that, meaning Reverend Allen's son, today when we were in communication about some other matters. So anyway, I'm envisioning you, Miss Kim, and Brother Ray coming to Miracle Valley and being a part of Lift Every Voices, because what brought that to my attention was Mosey Burke, the Mississippi Mass Choir. She was introduced to me when I was out there on Vision Quest for 14 days in Miracle Valley. Brother Kwame followed me, and I hope, Brother Kwame, you still have some pictures, because all of mine are gone. And the ones who have record of me being there, they no longer communicate with me for whatever reason. It's okay. But I have been envisioning you and Brother Ray there, Miss Kim, since I was introduced to Mosey Burt. I've been seeing it, and I don't know. I know she's still on the planet. Are you familiar with the Mississippi Mass Choir, Miss Mosey Burt?
Yes. I'm not familiar with her other than what I heard you say, but I want you to know that I'm ready to come whenever the time is here.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Everybody that's on the line, keep that in your prayers, because Brother Ray actually how do you say it, push me off the mountain with that thinking and his drumming every Sunday. And that led to other things. And when I heard you, Miss Kim, it was one of the shows, it just put it all together, confirmed it to me that I was just not hearing things from Reverend Allen, who actually asked for us to come. And he's on the other side. But a few people know how I think, especially Brother Kwame, who has been a major, major part of keeping me grounded on this planet, because sometimes I can really get out there, you know. So thank us, Sister Antoinette, for you feeling well enough to bring this podcast to the table, to the Kitchen Table University. And Miss New Jersey, my phone cut off that day. We were in conversation or reasoning, and it's been crazy ever since. And I haven't been able to reconnect, but I will. Thank us. Yes, ma'am. Thank us. I'm muting.
Yeah. Hey, thank you. Miss Brown has said that there's a power outage there, and you know she apologizes to everyone, and you know she wants to thank y'all for being here.
Yes, ma'am. We thank her.
Yes.
Thank her and praying for her.
Yes. Most definitely. Well, if no one else has any questions or comments, we can end this early tonight.
Yes.
If you have a question or a comment, please press the number 1 on your phone, and I can open up your line, and you can address your comments. One thing I do want to say is Jerry Springer passed away yesterday, I believe. Jerry Springer, you know who Jerry Springer is. He passed away. He was 79.
He was?
Yeah.
I thought he was older than that.
No, he was 79. And he passed away.
Wow.
Yeah. So we see that people are leaving here.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Antoinette, Jerry Springer was, he was, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, but you sound like you're far away.
Okay, I put it on phone speaker.
Okay.
Anyway, he was 79, and Belafonte was what?
96.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about him.
Yeah, 96. So 6 and 7. That's interesting. And it was yesterday that Jerry Springer, and in the new day it was Belafonte, or the day before?
Oh boy. Tuesday. It was Tuesday. Sure.
Oh. Okay.
Pardon?
No, I'm just figuring
out. And it just came up that the accuser of Emmett Till, you know, that said he died.
Oh geez.
Wait a minute. Who? Emmett Till?
The woman that accused him of what caused him to be lynched, she finally died.
Wait a minute. When did she make her transfer?
And it just popped up, so I'm not exactly sure. So you figure it's either today or it was yesterday.
Get out of Dodge. Okay, what's up with that, Brother Kwame? I wish Brother Harris was here, too.
Well, the thing is that they were looking at, she caused the murder and never got tried for it, and saying when she confessed and said she lied about it. That already right there says that, you know, she caused somebody's death by giving a false someone
false
something that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Right. And she been living all this time since 1955?
Yeah. Wow, I was only 3 years old then. Wow.
I wasn't born then. I was born in 62.
Okay.
I was 4.
Well, and I'm 52. I'm born in 52. Wow.
Yeah.
What we're seeing, this is something that really have to look at something. Harold Belafonte was fighting for our rights, and he did that, and he was at that time, and he died in 96. Jerry Springer brought up the bad side of that. He made our people look a certain way, even his people.
Yeah.
What he did in creating that program or being the host of that program, then she had caused an event to happen during the civil rights movement at the beginning of the civil rights. So you're seeing how a fighter, the two people that were doing something against our people, they two for one.
Yeah.
What does it say? Revenge is mine, says the Lord.
How old was she? She was in her 90s, wasn't she?
I think so.
Late 80s.
Late 80s, okay.
Late 80s somewhere. They were arguing, saying that they shouldn't try to try her for a crime that she was 80 years. I'm going like, you know, but revenge, you know, she had to live with that all her life.
Yeah.
But then they thought it was okay to do that to Bill Cosby after all of those years later.
Yeah.
You got the complexion for the protection.
You know, but it just makes you see that how far that they're going to strike down black people when you look at, you know, even though I'm not a fan, but Clarence Thomas, you know, look, they're going all the way up to the Supreme Court to take down black folks.
That's right.
Well, but he served his purpose. He no longer serving any purpose because they got a whole new generation that's in the courts now, so you're no longer needed. And plus, what you did was that a black woman got you in and a white woman getting you kicked out.
Yeah. Now they keep using us women.
And then you turn around there and she was on the January 6th connection she had with that.
Yeah.
He had already been receiving from billionaires all of these trips and gratuities that was given to him when he wasn't supposed to be accepting them. So finally somebody, they just went in his closet and took something off the rack and said, here, look what he's doing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Boy. You're absolutely right.
Do you know, out of all of the highest paid movie stars, period, Tyler Perry is one of the most highest paid.
Oh, really? Well, I can believe that.
Mm-hmm. And what it seems to be happening now is one of the reasons they're coming against us so hard is because our people are beginning to be top-notch on the money.
Yes.
But look at something, though. Would Tyler Perry be the highest paid if he wasn't doing what he did, is dressing up and acting as a trans person?
Would he have been?
If he had been a regular actor, if he did not dress up like he did and create that character of Madea.
Mm-hmm.
No, he wouldn't.
It was Martin Lawrence. Eddie Murphy that dressed like that, too. Okay, well, Madea was more so every weekday or whatever. But there was
Perry was first. Tyler Perry was first. That was before.
I don't think Tyler Perry came before the Nutty Professor.
Wilson was first.
Who?
Yeah.
Wilson? Yeah, Flip Wilson.
Flip Wilson,
Flip Wilson, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh? With Geraldine.
I worked with Flip.
Sidney Poitier. Leslie Tyson and Harry Belafonte never degraded themselves.
Yes, excuse me, Brother Kwame. Miss Kim was trying to say something.
Yeah, I worked with Flip Wilson too.
I was working with him
when he brought Geraldine out.
Miss Kim.
Yes.
Was he on the down low?
I didn't see it.
Okay.
Why did you ask that? Because of Geraldine?
Yes.
No. But what Brother Kwame is saying, he's right. Because I'm going to tell you, if a man refuses to dress up like a woman, they block him. Black or white.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise never dressed up like a woman.
No.
One
you're
of the
right
highest
about
paid
that.
Actors. Right?
Yeah.
One thing, we need to pray for Bill Cosby because Harry Belafonte, Sidney Poitier, and Bill Cosby was a pack.
Oh, really?
Right.
What?
Okay.
Yeah, they made the movies together. Uptown Saturday Night, Western, what's the name of that Western? Bill Cosby. No, well, it was Harry Belafonte and Sidney Poitier. Bill Cosby.
Oh, I know what movie you're talking about, and I can't think of the name.
And Harry Belafonte.
Fuck and the Preacher.
Kind of the open up like Fred Williamson, Jim Kelly, and one more of them, that they were the black exploit. They were the Three the Hard Way and all of those things.
Yeah, because they did a movie about the water.
Yeah, and Three the Hard Way. Yeah, Three the Hard Way. That was.
What about Richard Pryor?
Where they talked about Detroit's water system, and well, they said they were going to poison the water. Remember, the Russians were going to poison the water, and they named Detroit, L.A., and I think Chicago, but they were going after, you know, black run cities where they were going to poison the water at.
Mm-hmm.
In that movie, I mean, but then when you look at whereas the water system problems are at, they're in mainly in black and brown communities.
Right.
But things flow their way too. It, you know, it's affecting them too. Wouldn't they try to get up and falling back?
Always. If you're going to do something, you're digging a ditch for somebody, you better dig too.
That's right.
What was Du Bois and the soul of black folks. He says, you put chains on our ankles and around our necks, and eventually they're going to wind up around yours.
That's right. But, Brother Kwame, now, I forgot the name of those stones, but this is a good time to tell everyone about those stones so that they can get them for the water. And I forget the name of them.
Clear quartz crystals?
A black stone.
Yeah, they're black, yes.
Obsidian or, because black stones
they come
is
from
obsidian. Moldavite, ones I could think of. Moldavite comes from Russia, but I don't know.
What are purification stones? I think that's what, I think you said it. Pardon me?
Right.
I can't hear you.
Shungite, S-U-G-N-I-T-E, Shungite. Yeah, that's an electrical, it's a water purifier and it's also a protection.
Yes, if you put it around your appliances, especially around the Wi-Fi and things like that, that it...
It'll sort, because most certain crystals have a higher percentage of what they call piezoelectricity, that they're so charged up, striking, and it'll spark just like a...
Can't hear you.
I said they have electrical currents in them. That's why they're so protective, because they balance with your body and the things that come from outside of your body, around you.
Yeah. Someone was talking when you mentioned that, Brother Kwame. Would you say it again, the name of it?
Shungite. N-I-T. Shungite.
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me? It's called Shungite.
You were spelling it?
S-U-G-U-N-I-T-E, Shungite.
Did you say S? I didn't.
S as in Sam, U as in umbrella, E as in God, U as in earth, N-I-T-E, Shungite.
Did you say something about quartz, too?
Yeah, clear.
You keep cutting out. Maybe it's my phone.
Yeah, I remember. Brother Kwame,
my earpod went out. That's why.
Okay. Yeah. But I have the stones. And what my daughter did, because I gave my children stones, too. And what she did was, not only did she put it in her water, but she told me that she took a baggie and poked holes in it and put the stone in there and put it over her faucets.
Okay.
As well.
Yeah, and I always sleep with magnetites and crystal. Those are two magnetic stones. They're magnets. And they call magnetite, and they are like lodestones. And you put that with a crystal in your pillow, it helps to draw energy while you're sleeping in your head.
Yes, and which is good. That's good as well.
Yeah.
Brother Eddie and I think it's going to be next week or the week after. We're going to do another family show where you bring your remedies and, you know, like we have done in the past.
Right.
So that, you know, we're working to protect us and, you know, to make sure that we're well. And so everyone keep that in mind so that, you know, if you have anything that you wish to bring to the table, can, so that everyone will be bringing their bringing their puzzle pieces to the table.
And I think that's a great thing, because what we're doing at the table is that we're serving things that's going to nourish us and strengthen us, but also give us a universal connection.
Yes. And that is
just
much
like
needed.
Yeah, because just like what Ishtar was saying when she was talking about the farm, the F-A and not the F-A, the P-H, because that was the change. And we have to begin to look at that and look at, you know, the different books, because there are many books that people are going back and getting recipes that their grandparents and things that they did and how they did, you know, plants. And even the Native American has got a Bible. It's three books, and they give you the pictures of the plant and how to harvest it, and then how to use it for certain things, to make tea, to make boats, to make tixers, tonics, all of it. Because basically all that we get from a pharmacy basically comes from nature. They just reinvented it and recreated it.
And put their stuff in it so they can patent it.
That's so they can make money off of it.
God told me we need to go back to the earth.
That's why
I'm not taking pharmaceuticals, because they've added to
right.
it.
That's what I was sharing with Ishtar. The earth is our bank. Everything we need, all the resources are in, the creator put them in the earth. That's our mother. Nature nurtures.
And if we nurture our immune system, it will take care of the body. It was designed to do that.
Yeah, it's made to live. But that's why people say that they, you know, when you say you have nutrition, you talk about a nutritionist as opposed to a dietitian. Die is the first three letters of diet is die. What you gonna intake to kill you?
Yeah. Well, oh my. So we have a lot of things. I'm looking forward to that show. I always like the shows where, you know, we're bringing together things that's going to help us all.
And that's key, because we got enough outside of us already that we live in this world that's going against us, that's attacking us, because that's their plan. The thing that we have to do is counter it. There's always an opposite. So we got to bring the positive to their negative.
Yes, we do. We do.
I asked Antoinette the other day if she remembered the song Accentuate the Positive.
Yeah.
And I don't remember that.
And
probably before your point.
Yeah, but what I was looking at is, I'm one male on the line, and I haven't heard the other men on it, but it's the women. The women are the ones that nurture, and that's who's bringing up the programs. Sister Antoinette is, you know, running the board. Miss Kim is giving us the elders message. Mama AZ is giving us the elders message. Ishtar is giving the elders. Miss Brown was giving. So the women are telling us how we can live, and it's the men that we have to support and help with that.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have a lot of things to look forward to. And hopefully, you know, we can do it. Now, I believe that we can do it.
All things is possible if you believe.
Yes, yes, it is.
That's why you can't say words in doubt.
Right. Because even when you say it's impossible, you really say it, I'm possible. I am. I'm possible.
And with God, nothing is impossible.
No.
Yeah. So we have a lot of things ahead. You know, but we can do it.
There you go.
We can do it. And we're going to do it.
And that's the key part. That's why I say thank us, because there's no I in we.
Yes. Yes, you're right about that. You're definitely right about that.
All right.
Because I no longer have the board, but I'd like to thank you all for being with us. And, you know, again, don't forget Dry Bones on Sunday and Brother Ray on Sunday. You know, so it's 10:30. Oh, and also, now we have to see how it goes. But possibly Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we'll be doing a show with the daughters, the wives.
Right.
So we have to see if, you know, if Miss Brown is able to get everyone together and how that'll go. So I will send out notices for that. And so hopefully y'all will be able to join us.
Right. Is Judge O'Brien going to be on Fridays anymore?
I don't know. I can't answer that. I truly don't know.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I will ask. Okay, well, thank you all for coming, and y'all have a good night.
You too, and everybody rest well.
Okay, thank you. Blessings to you. Love you, Miss Kim.
Love you, Miss Kim. Thank us for me. Thank us. Oh.
Okay. All right, good night, everyone.